There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. It's a Thursday, too. Sure happy you're here. Live local talk over this hour. And just there during the end of the news break, I was talking to my buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Talking about this, the Tuesday night show, Two Guys and Some Change. It was actually when I was listening, Three Guys and Some Change, because Johnny Gwynn was on with the guys. Y'all were talking about collections and precious metals. And it's something we had talked about before, Angelo, and precious metals. You'd say, okay, well, here, silver is worth this, but wow, we get this one that has an elephant on it, or this one that has something else on it, may have a value a little better than the regular silver spot value, right?
Exactly. There are a lot of different things people collect. There are a lot of things people are passionate about. You know, just like you and I have talked about, you know, I think one of your kids is really into Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
So he now has one of those cool Star Wars collectible silver rounds. If we would have given him just a generic silver round, he would have got, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, he doesn't. Not care. He's way more interested in the Boba Fett on there than he is the fact that it's silver. Actually, he has no real care it's silver at all. It just has Boba Fett on it.
Right, and so he's going to like that and appreciate that. And down the road, hopefully later, he goes, wow, this is also an ounce of silver, so that's worth you know, $30 or $40 or $50. We have a lot of that cool kind of stuff here at the shop. Because not everybody just wants to stack up 10-ounce bars of silver. Somebody wants to see some of that cool stuff.
And it does. I mean, if people do that, they give that, you're doing two things. It's like you're giving, you know, the savings bond and the cool toy at the same time.
It's definitely a win-win. One of my neighbors taught me this very thoroughly, because around Christmas time, there'd be boxes and boxes and boxes outside. And come March, there would be plastic toys everywhere outside, out there for trash pickup. They started switching over to come into the shop and buying their kids at least some silver coins. And you know something? Those were never out at trash pickup on Wednesday.
Oddly
go
enough.
Go figure.
Go figure indeed. Let's figure some on precious metals. It's been, oh my gosh, it's been headline material here for weeks. Where are we this week with gold? Where are we this week with silver?
Gold right now is around $1,930. That's $1,930. Silver is in the $27 range. And I want to remind people something. If you took away the last month or so, gold and silver are at the highest they've been in around a decade. So don't look at it as it dropped from where it was last week. Look at how much higher it is than it was last year. So if you've got stuff you're thinking of selling, it's a really good time to get rid of some of those items and get some quick cash. And at the same time, if you're one of those people that thinks things are going to get really crazy and I need to get some gold and silver now, it did drop a little bit from last week, so it's not a bad time to grab some of those silver bars or gold coins.
Yeah, interesting part of y'all's discussion on Tuesday, too, and it for, you know, I understand, well, Lord knows, don't know that I understand them. I try to learn, and I trade in equities, and I have a, you know, I have a number that I sell at, a number that I buy at on some. You have the same thing going on with precious metals. You have done the research and probably can point us in the right direction. We come in and talk with you that, you know, kind of where your sweet spot is to buy more, where your go spot is to sell some.
And something that we talked about during the show as well is, okay, you go, you find your sweet spot, you come in and talk to us here at Mobile Bay Coins, and we say, you know, I would sell my money, you know, all my silver is going to go out when it hits this dollar value. Well, that's fine. But what do you do with that cash at that point? You can't put it into more silver because that's what you just sold.
Right.
You know, gold is really high too. So we talked about the fact that at that point, maybe you buy one or two or three of those really rare collectible coins that hold their value very well through good times and bad. So you pick up one of those and you're sort of parking your money right there at that value point. And then no matter what is happening with the U.S. dollar, no matter what's happening with gold and silver, when you decide to sell that item, it's been stable in value, and then you can sell it and then maybe reinvest when silver goes back down again.
See what I'm talking about, y'all? Think about the when you get to hang out with Angelo and Ron and Nancy and everybody at the shop, the kind of advice you get and education. And that's what it's been for me over a decade with Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's do this. Let's tell people directions to come see you. We're going to have to tomorrow talk about those open L knives because that's a whole other world of things you've got me hooked on. But let's talk about coming out to see you, talking gold and silver, getting that education.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street, just down the street from Whataburger. You can call us, 725-1590. Check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com. Or if you want to see the new stuff as it's coming in, like and follow us on Instagram and on Facebook.
All right, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And, you know, this is good. Don't you see the latest... latest text here from Larry. Larry checking in from Atmore. What's up, Atmore? What's up, Larry? This is a good. Larry, you set me up, and this is like putting it on a tee. You didn't know you were doing that. So Larry has had a, and it is, by the way, it's Westwood One News, but he said every time your ABC News stream starts, I have to shut down my streaming. Yeah, so we take Westwood One News at this point. And you know, to have a what I feel is a well-rounded station, we have to have national news partners. In my opinion, it may change one day, but just the way I see it and programming this station, I feel that we have, you know, great local news partners. We create news content ourselves here. We put all that together for you, news and weather and traffic, you know, on top of all the talk we do. Our own staff meteorologist, Dr. Ben Williams, tropical weather expert, which he has been pressed into even more service here as of late. But we have a national news partners. That is something that we have to syndicate. While we do 53 hours a week of live local programming here. We're doing 8-hour block in the morning of live local talk, plus our evening shows, plus our live shows on Saturday, live shows on Sunday. We don't have a bureau in Washington and LA and those kind of things. I know it seems like we should talk to management about that. We should have bureaus out there or something out there, the apartment. We can call it a bureau. But we don't. So we get our national news. So the selection out there, you got to choose. And to be frank with you, Larry, it is for folks like us that are conservative, with really very limited exception. It's a perilous journey out there because you go from one to the other. And where we are now, we had CBS News for a while. Let me do this because I don't think anybody talks about this in the nation unless you know how it works. So I'm going to keep going here to the break, don't I? So we had CBS News for a long time here at FM Talk 106.5. And CBS News, a pretty big name, brings a lot with it behind that name. And tell you, the product and delivery, pretty darn good. And I would argue the same for Westwood One. They had some of the same talent that some talent broke off of CBS and went to Westwood One News. And the actualities and there's pretty good stuff. But just like you, I hear the same things. That the way a story is set up, and sometimes people will come up, not sometimes, but pretty much daily, somebody says, well, they just did fake news on the network news. If you go back through and break it down, because they don't say things that are false. They don't have false quotes. They don't have, but I'm with you. I'm on y'all's side here. The way they set up a story, what they say before or after it, to diminish or question the quote. They don't just deliver the quote. They spend more time building the frame for the picture than just giving you the picture, which is the quote or the piece of information, the fact. That's what we do in editorializing, right? People call it journalists like you. I'm not a journalist. I'm an editorialist. I'm a talk show host. What they do is journalism. You'll hear me talking to people on this show many times, and they'll stop and go, well, I can't give you an opinion on that. I'm a journalist. I love that. That's refreshing. That's what they do. So they're all reporting the same stories, but how they put the frame around that quote or whatever it is absolutely makes me get red in the face, just like you. But there's also only so many options, and like so many other things out there, they're driven by people that may not think exactly like us, except there are a few exceptions. And this is, I'm glad y'all are sticking with me and rolling with me. I know some people love change. I'm a person that will change when needed, but it takes a lot of cajoling. I'm a mule that may need a pop or two on the backside to move, but that's one of the changes we're making. Now, we have a big announcement coming up tomorrow here at FM Talk 106.5 about the future of It's growth. It's not reduction. Okay, this is. I know you're saying, well, you just added Jeff Poore. I know, but I'm a nut. So, an ever increasing local voice for you here. All right. So that we'll give you the details tomorrow. Tell you more about that. But in addition, because I think this probably will be okay. It absolutely will be overwhelmed by the big announcements and all the changes of increased programming around here. We are, Larry, getting ready to change news service. So, Larry, your wish and the wish of, I don't know, we can stroll through the text line or my email, probably thousands of y'all, will come true. Because Westwood One is gone at the end of this month as a news provider, and we're bringing in a new national news source for news at the top and bottom of the hour, which is a silly radio way of saying at the beginning of the hour and then at like close to 30 minutes past the hour. So those two newscasts will be coming from a new source here as we go into the month of September. And so, Larry, I appreciate it. I appreciate your text. I always appreciate y'all's emails. And Larry specifically gave me a chance to riff on something that is changing here, the kind of stuff that we're working on when we're not on the show. We're trying to get wires. I got some more wire ties, Dalton. I think I can tie those two wires together. We're going to make it happen. And whether I have to use two or three packs of bubble gum to wire those things together, we are going to be beginning of the month. Brand new news service coming to the mix too, and that's not even the big announcements tomorrow. It's a crazy big announcements tomorrow. It's 118. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Dr. Bill had said this morning, not that it's a sure thing, but once again, to get him to even get in a discussion of two storms in the Gulf of Mexico at one time next week tells me there's at least some probability. Because if you come up with the kind of the cock... Hey, by the way, hey, I'm Sean. This is Midday Mobile. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here. But if you think about the... there's... Something could have a 1% probability, and there's going to be someone online or some TV station or whatever will run with that weather story. Because weather, look at how big weather is during the news. It has consumed all other. The investigative reporting segment has been eaten by this gigantic thing called weather. It has eaten the sports cast. It's all weather because people want the information, so they got to fill it up with things that aren't stories. Dr. Bill. When there's something like that, that's when I hold him over and get more information. But other times, he's just not going to hype things. And so for him to just say that, yes, it's a possibility and something worth looking at, that two storms could be in the Gulf next week, he's got my attention. So we'll keep getting updates from him on that. I drive him crazy when I say, hey, can I get you on like three? Maybe you should send emails to him. I said, I want you on three times an hour to talk about the possibility of hurricanes, two of them in the Gulf at one time. And it gets him going berserk. All right. A lot of people say, what am I? I can't tell you the big announcement tomorrow. It's a secret. It's a big announcement. A lot of comments here about the national news feed. And you know what? And I'm cool with that. Like, people say, well, they didn't know how it worked or whatever. I'm here to try to keep the curtain pulled back. So that's it. Yeah, national news comes from national sources. So we can only do, what's available for national news. And I truly believe you got to keep national news, even though sometimes I'm with you. It makes you red in the face or grates on you. Got to have national news source on there. And I think we got a good fit coming up. So that's coming up at the end of the month. All right. Johnny, you're funny. He said the big announcement is finally Governor Kay Ivey is coming on the show. No, it's okay. It's not that big of an announcement. I thought it was big. It's not that big. If Tuberville and Ivy came on the show at the same time, they asked to come on the show and they would come on the show, that would be a tad bit bigger announcement. I don't know. I think this one we got still is even bigger. All right. But before we run out of time, I want to get the beginning of this. And it's not even a press conference. It's like we see so often. So President Trump is talking to Iraqi PM and Prime Minister of Iraq, is there and is speaking with the president, and then the president goes to take some questions, and as Dalton was talking about during the news break, it's like never a question. I mean, you feel bad almost for the Prime Minister of Iraq sitting there, doesn't get any questions, but President Trump does, and he's answering them, and it's about, well, many of the subjects we've been talking about today. So let's roll with that as long as we can up to the news break from Westwood One, then we'll come back and play some more of it afterwards. So go ahead and hit that cut.
And offense, I have to say, but we'll be discussing military. We're also involved in many oil projects and oil development within their country. And I think we've had a very, very good relationship since we started. We're down to a very small number of soldiers in Iraq now. We defeated the ISIS caliphate in Iraq and Syria. And it's that has been defeated very strongly. And it does have a different feeling to it now. That you've got it. We had it at 98%, and we said, well, we can leave. And then everybody said, would you bring it to 100%? Then we brought it to 100%. But the relationship is very good. We have become friends. We have become, I think, friendly. I think our relationship now is better than ever before, but we have very few soldiers in Iraq, but we're there to help. And the Prime Minister knows that we are there to help. We're with some people that also, Mike and Robert, we very much feel that if Iran should do anything, we will be there to help the Iraqi people. So that's where we are. We're doing big trade deals. We're doing military deals, and we're doing military purchases by them where they're spending a lot of money on purchasing equipment, and they're building up their military rapidly. And we like to see that. So thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister, for being here. I appreciate it. Please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to thank you for receiving us in White House today. I'm grateful for all the support offered by the United States to Iraq during the war against ISIS. This support is built our partnership for the best interests for our nation. Mr. President, yesterday we signed many contracts with American companies, over $10 billion. Iraq is open for American business and investment, and for a better future for Iraq and Iraqi people. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank
very
you
very much.
Mr. President, what's your reaction to the indictment of your former campaign aide, Steve Bannon?
Well, I feel very badly. I haven't been dealing with him for a long period of time, as most of the people in this room know. He was involved in our campaign. He worked for Goldman Sachs. He worked for a lot of companies, but he was involved likewise in our campaign and for a small part of the administration very early on. I haven't been dealing with him at all. I know nothing about the project other than I didn't like, when I read about it, I didn't like it. I said, this is for government. This isn't for private people. And it sounded to me like showboating, and I think I let my opinion be very strongly stated at the time. I didn't like it. It was showboating and maybe looking for funds, but you'll have to see what happens. I think it's a very sad thing for Mr. Bannon. I think it's surprising, but this was something, as you know, just by reading social media and by reading whatever it is and by speaking to Mike and all of them, I didn't like that project. I thought that was a project that was being done for showboating reasons. I don't know that he was in charge. I didn't know any of the other people either. But it's sad. It's very sad.
Mr. President, Roger Stone, it's Michael Flynn, it's Rick Gates, Paul Manafort, Michael Cohen. What's it say about your judgment that these are the kind of people?
Well, I have no idea.
And the culture of lawlessness around.
Well, no, there was great lawlessness in the Obama administration. They spied on our campaign illegally. And if you look at all of the things and all of the scandals they had tremendous lawlessness. But I know nothing about, I was not involved in the project. I have no idea who was, but I can tell you I didn't know the people, the three people that were talked about were people that I did not know. I don't believe I ever met them. I don't think that should be a privately financed wall. I don't think it's too complex, it's too big. And we're now up to 300 miles, almost in another week and a half, we'll be up to 300 miles of wall at the highest level. They were even having construction problems. I was reading, the little I know about it, I got from you. I was reading where they were having construction problems with the wall that they had a small area just to show people that they could build a wall. And they were having a lot of problems where it was toppling over and other things. And I didn't like it because I didn't want to be associated with that. We built a very powerful wall. It was a wall that is virtually impossible.
All right, let's do this. Let's run. We'll come back to the conversation, which is as the Iraqi prime minister, watching the video feed, as the Iraqi prime minister is sitting there just hoping somebody asks him about his country. The president's answering questions about the wall and Bannon and other subjects. When we get back, we'll get you some more of the short pressure from earlier today. We'll get news and Dr. Bill's forecast coming up next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, thank you for being with us here on this National Radio Day. Yeah, it's national, so it's a Marconi fans, Tesla fans. National Radio Day. Also, we share this day with National Lemonade Day. Now, Dalton, I don't know what that, how I should feel about that. We've had national days for everything now. They're starting to. You're going to have to share. It's a duplex. So this August 20th is a duplex. National Radio Day for us, but other people are celebrating National Lemonade Day. So, but there you go. It's more and more days of made-up holidays have to be shared with other made-up holidays. So, well, just take it out how it is. And by the way, I was remiss. Not really remiss, but went into last hour like right off the blocks because I knew we had so many questions for Dr. Scott Chavers with the Mobile County Health Department to get to. That I just kind of pushed off the normal the housekeeping we do at the beginning of the show. And so I did not say anything about our winner this week, but I am now in the FM Talk 106.5 Fish and Photo Contest brought to you by Sportsman's Marine. Robert Frush, the winner of this week's contest, he's getting the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirt with that speckled trout and the snapper on there. Also, our logo, it's a dry fit shirt with the long sleeves. So whether you're out fishing or mowing the lawn or whatever, it's a great and stylish shirt. Robert has a picture of a Ness speckled trout, and he is, I see here on, well, I won't say where. People go look at it because you know how it is around here. Robert, I know where you're fishing, I think. I'm looking at it. I think I know where you're fishing there. Maybe not. Maybe not. So, but congratulations, Robert, the winner of this week's FM Talk 106.5 Fish and Photo Contest, brought to you by Sportsman's Marine. Now, a new week starts. Now, this goes from now till next Thursday. Our weeks for the Fish and Photo Contest are Thursday to Thursday. What you do now, fresh week, we've shaken the Etch-A-Sketch, ready for a fresh start. Put your picture up, fishing picture. It could be you. In the fishing picture, it could be friends, family. It could be a photo you just got yesterday, a photo that's 20 years old. I'm not here to make those decisions. I'm here to just tell you, put your great fishing photo up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Make sure you like the page. So facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Just grab a cool fishing photo. Put it up there. Then get your friends and family and everybody else to go like that photo on our Facebook page. And the more likes your picture gets, well, you end up being like Robert and winning the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team t-shirt. So we do it each week. Might as well get involved. It'll be your turn to win soon. I'm feeling it. All right. So congratulations. Let's go back to some audio here from just a little bit ago as President Trump was in this bilateral meeting with the Prime Minister of the Republic of Iraq. And then he takes questions. Most questions not having to do with the Prime Minister of Iraq, but having to do with a couple things today. And one of them is that what we've reported on first, I think about 8:30 this morning, about the arrest of Scott Bannon and or Steve Bannon, and not which by the way, Scott Bannon not arrested, but will be a guest with us this week on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Steve Bannon, of course, was arrested. He's asked about that as well. Let's go back to that audio.
Was going to be an inferior wall, so I didn't know that. I didn't know about Bannon's involvement, but I didn't know the other people. But I do think it's a sad event. And again, Steve has had a great career at Goldman Sachs. He's had a career with a lot of other people. I haven't dealt with him at all over years now, literally years. And I guess this was a project he was involved in, but it was something that, the fact you can see I made statements about it a long time ago, was something that I very much felt was inappropriate to be doing. Okay.
Mr. President.
Yes, go ahead, please. No, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Mr. President, the end of the militia roles in Iraq is one of the very important issues to stabilize the country in Iraq. How America is going to support ending the militia role in Iraq?
You're very hard to understand. Could you maybe help me
Mr.
with that?
Mr. President.
Wait, go ahead, try it again.
الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية ساعدت العراق كثيرا في الحرب ضد داعش وساعدت في إسقاط نظام صدام حسين. نحمل على عمل علاقات مشتركة بين العراق وأمريكا تعتمد على المبدأ الاقتصادي والمصالح المشتركة من أجل مستقبل أفضل لشعب العراق ومستقبل العراق. شكرا جزيلا.
The United States helped helped Iraq enormously in defeating ISIS and also in toppling the Saddam Hussein regime. We are working on building a strong relationship that is based on joint interest between Iraq and the United States, that is based on economic interest for the better future of the Iraqi people and the United States people.
When we came into office, ISIS was running rampant all over Iraq and Syria, and we knocked out the 100% of the ISIS caliphate. But the Obama administration did a very, very poor job. They were running rampant all over, and we came in and we did a real job, and we got rid of that, and that was a good thing. And now we're working with Iraq. They use the great American dollar, which is the most powerful currency in the world. And they're starting to do well, and we are with them. And this gentleman in particular, we've developed a very good relationship, and hopefully it's going to be very strong for your country.
Mr. President, there have been 32 attacks in the last 10 months on U.S. interest in Iraq, particularly in the Green Zone and U.S. military bases. How are you going to help Iraq to halt these attacks by pro-Iranian militia? And to hold these people accountable. And sir, if I may also, there was some reporting that the U.S. troops will withdraw from Iraq totally in 3 years. Is this true?
So at some point, we obviously will be gone. We've brought it down to a very, very low level. We deal when there are attacks. We take care of those attacks, and we take care of them very easily. Nobody has the weaponry we have. Nobody has the anything of what we have. We have the finest, the greatest military in the world. When somebody hits us, we hit back harder than they hit us. So we handle it. In addition to that, Iraq has been very helpful where necessary. But we have been taking our troops out of Iraq fairly rapidly, and we look forward to the day when we don't have to be there. And hopefully Iraq can live their own lives and they can defend themselves, which they've been doing long before we got involved. Yes,
President. Yes, President. Yes, President. You said the role of the Kurds in Iraq.
About the bounties. You say you hit back hard, but we haven't seen any definitive strike back for bounties upon Americans.
Well, you don't know about the bounties. I mean, you're telling me if you know something, you can let us know, but you obviously don't know very much about it. But if we found that, that would be true. If we found that would be a very, it would be a fact. What you just said, we would hit them so hard, your head would spin. Go ahead.
Mr. President, how do you see the role of the Kurds in Iraq? And how is important relationship between Baghdad and Erbil?
Well, the Kurds helped us greatly in defeating the, as you know, the ISIS and getting the ISIS, 100% of the ISIS caliphate. So we have a very good relationship with the Kurds, and we've also treated them very well.
Mr. President,
yes, please.
The end of the militia roles in Iraq is very important to stabilize the country. How America can help ending the militia roles, and how can help Iraq in the democracy process?
Well, what we're doing is we're helping where we can. But again, that's a country, that's a separate country. They have a prime minister, and they have people in office, and they have to run their country. We've been in Iraq for a long time. I won't say whether or not I said we should be there, but frankly, I didn't think it was a good idea. But I was a civilian, so who's going to listen to me? But I made my point pretty clear. I guess as clear as a civilian can do it. But we were there, and now we're getting out. We'll be leaving shortly. and the relationship is very good. We're making very big oil deals. Our oil companies are making massive deals, and that's basically the story. I mean, we're very happy with the relationship that we've developed over the last couple of years. I thought before that, frankly, the United States was being taken advantage of, but we're going to be leaving, and hopefully we're going to be leaving a country that can defend itself.
Mr. President, on the troops,
in the United States, there were airstrikes on northern Iraq and Kurdistan region, killing one civilian. I know in your talks and your meetings here, you talk a lot about the sovereignty of Iraq. Is that something that you're looking for help from the United States? And Mr. President, if that's something can, if Iraq is asking for help in terms of the interference from the neighbors, not just Iran, but other neighbors where they're attacking northern Iraq.
Well, they'll have to make a specific request, but certainly the Prime Minister has my ear. So if he does that, we'll take a look. They do have, it's a very unstable part of the world. And I'm not talking about Iraq. I'm talking about the whole of the Middle East. It's a very, very unstable part of the world. But we're there to help. And because of the relationship, we would certainly be willing to lend you the kind of support that you need.
بكل تأكيد عندنا حوار مع الأتراك لتصحيح هذا الوضع ونتوقع أنه حل هذه المشكلة فيما يخص السيادة العراقية أنه الأتراك سوف يتفهمون ظروف العراق وكذلك لن نسمح لأي طرف كان يهدد أي من جيران بخصوص الدستور العراقي يركز على أنه العراق لن يسمح أن يكون هناك تهديد.
I don't know, we need some subtitles here. They'll translate after the break. All right, 146, getting the last 2 minutes here of the president's answered a few questions that you in this bilateral meeting with the prime minister of the Republic of Iraq, but questions ranging from Iraq, but also to Steve Bannon. I will get right back. More of this on a Thursday here. I love it on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm going to move forward in this interview. Really just remarks from the president. Because there's a question here coming about a timetable for the full removal of troops from Iraq. And let me point out, too, that as people are talking about things that President Trump promised on the campaign trail and, you know, whether he delivered on this promise or that promise, you know, it gets to be that time of year when you go for re-election. What about that? Because President Trump, this is kind of forgotten by a lot of folks, but not me. Folks like me that, what do they call me? I'm not an isolationist. I'm just a person that is not a neocon. And they got an attention of a lot of folks out there when President Trump campaigned. And listen, people said that going into 2016, people that were either Democrat or nonpartisan said, if you look at the rhetoric, President Trump was actually the dove and Hillary Clinton was the hawk in this. And the president gets asked a question here about removing the last troops from Iraq.
Definitely the Turkish attacks are not accepted. On the other hand, the Iraqi constitution also does not allow Iraq to become used to attack any neighboring country. We are entering dialogue with Turkey to rectify this situation, and I look forward to solving this problem with Turkey and getting our neighbors, the Turks, to understand Iraq's circumstances. But once again, the Iraqi constitution does not allow Iraqi territory to be used to attack any neighboring country.
I will say this, the United States, and me in particular, has a very good relationship with Turkey and with President Erdogan, and we'll be talking to him. But we have a very, very good relationship with Turkey and with President Erdogan.
Mr. President, just a follow-up on the troops question, sir. Do you have a time frame for the full and complete withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq?
Mike, what would you say to that?
Yeah, as soon as we complete the mission, the President's made very clear he wants to get our forces down to the lowest level as quickly as we possibly can. That's the mission he's given us, and we're working with the Iraqis to achieve that.
We're at the lowest level now, Jeff. We're at the lowest level in Afghanistan that we have been in many years. We'll be down to about 4,000 troops in Afghanistan, and that will be when?
A couple months, sir.
Yeah, within a few months, a couple of months.
Mr. President, one other thing, Mr.
As you know, in Syria, we're down to almost nothing, except we kept the oil. But we'll work out some kind of a deal with the Kurds on that. But we left, but we kept the oil, and we left the border. We said Turkey and Syria can take care of their own border. We don't have to do it. And that worked out very well. I remember when I did that, I was scorned by everybody. They said, this is terrible. Well, I did it. It's now 2 years ago. We did it with Mike Pence, went over and met with the various parties and very successfully. And we removed our troops. Nobody was killed, nobody. And now they protect their own border like they have been for hundreds of years. And we've left. But we did keep a small force and we kept the oil. And we'll make a determination on that oil fairly soon.
And just one domestic question, sir. The Manhattan case about your taxes has now ruled that you do need to give your to turn over your taxes. Do you have a reaction to that?
Well, the Supreme Court said if it's a fishing expedition, you don't have to do it. And this is a fishing expedition. But more importantly, this is a continuation of the witch hunt, the greatest witch hunt in history. There's never been anything like it, where people want to examine every deal you've ever done to see if they can find that there's a comma out of place. No president has ever had to go through this. The Supreme Court shouldn't have allowed this to happen, but no president has ever had to go through this. But what the Supreme Court did do is say, if it's a fishing expedition, my interpretation is essentially you don't have to do it. So we'll probably end up back in the Supreme Court. But this is just a continuation of the most hideous witch hunt in the history of our country. We beat Mueller. We won at every level in this, in Washington, in D.C. We won at every level. So now what they do, they send it into New York. So now we have an all-Democrat state, all Democrats, and they send it into New York. This should never be allowed to happen to another president. This is a continuation of the most disgusting witch hunt in the history of our country. All it is. But the Supreme Court said fishing expedition. This is the ultimate fishing expedition. Nobody has anything. We don't do things wrong. But they'll say, let's go in and inspect every deal he's ever done. Let's get papers from 10 years, every paper, every deal he's ever signed. Maybe we can find where some lawyer made a mistake, where they didn't dot an I, where they didn't put a comma down someplace. And then we can do something. This is a disgrace, and this should never, ever be allowed to happen again.
Mr. President.
Thank you.
All right. So that was the end of the pressure there. Hitting a couple subjects there. The one that, you know, we talked about this morning, the Steve Bannon story, arrested on fraud charges in a border wall fundraising effort here. And I think you heard a little of that discussion from the president, but it said former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon was arrested on charges of defrauding hundreds of thousands of donors through his We Build the Wall fundraising campaign. Bannon and three others indicted on federal investigation in the Southern District of New York. Prosecutors alleged that the four defrauded donors by raising more than $25 million to build a wall along the southern border of the U.S., but some of that money was used for personal gain. Now, looking for how much, and they talked about $1 million, and that Bannon had taken $1 million. At least that's the allegation here. Bannon and three other associates, they said, prosecutors alleged the four defrauded donors by raising more than $25 million to build a wall on the southern border. Some of the money was used for personal gain. Others in the indictment were Timothy Shea, 49-year-old from Colorado, accused of owning a shell company, Brian Colfage, a disabled Iraq war veteran, Andrew Badolato, who, according to his website, was a contributor to Breitbart News. Campaign was intended to raise money to help President Trump fulfill the campaign promise to build a border wall. You know, the Alabama connection to this, and we'll hear more about this, I'm sure, in the next day or two, was remember that when Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh wanted to change something, or was it McCutcheon in the House? There was a move. I think it was Del Marsh, a move in to be able to make it to where you could, Alabamians could donate to that, and it would be reflected as a donation for tax. Remember that the state of Alabama was going to move on that somehow. I don't think that ever went through. But this is, we'll see. I mean, this is right now an allegation. We'll see where this goes. But they got four in this, and one of them is a pretty big name, Steve Bannon, on that arrest this morning. All right. Before we wrap up, heads up here. So coming up tomorrow, big announcement here at FM Talk 106.5. And no, it's all positive. It's all, somebody said, oh, you know, were you somebody asked if I was now going to take over Jeff Porter's show. No, I'm not. Jeff Porter's going to do the Jeff Porter show. That's why it's called the Jeff Porter show. So he's going to be there, but ever expanding here at FM Talk 106.5. Can I say it this way? More local talk, more local voices. I'll leave it there. We'll land that plane tomorrow. It's good. We're square. All right, coming up next, Paul Feinbaum. And I'll see y'all tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings.